Good afternoon, and welcome to the Green Thumb Show. I'm Lee Murray, your reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. Thanks for joining us. For BetterHomesAndGardens.com, how to plant and grow honeysuckle vine. Hummingbirds love these easy care climbers with tubular flowers by Lynn McElbine. Hummingbirds adore the nectar-rich flowers of honeysuckle vines, and after growing one, you will too. These hardy climbers offer attractive clusters of blooms in white, yellow, orange, pink, and red shades in early summer. Many varieties also have a sweet scent. Honeysuckle vines belong to the same family as the arching honeysuckle shrubs. The vines are easy to grow, but they have one particular requirement. They do best when their roots are in the shade and the flowering tops are in full or partial sun. They are fast growers, adding 1 to 3 feet in length per growing season. The plant type is a shrub or a vine. Light needs, full sun, height 10 to 25 feet, width 3 to 15 feet, flower color orange, pink, white, red, and yellow. Foliage color blue-green, chartreuse, and gold. Season features fall bloom and summer bloom. Special features attracts birds, fragrance, low maintenance, zones 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, and propagation, layering, and stem cuttings. So where to plant honeysuckle vine? Plant honeysuckle vine in moist but well-drained soil. If possible, locate it where its roots are in the shade and stems are in the sun, such as against a west-facing wall or fence. Due to its high flammability rating, honeysuckle vine should not be planted close to a house. As the vine grows, it needs a sturdy support such as a trellis, fence, or pole. Install the support before planting the vine to avoid damaging the roots later. And a warning, some introduced shrub and vine honeysuckles are highly invasive. These include Japanese honeysuckle, Amur honeysuckle, Moro's honeysuckle, Tatarian honeysuckle, the hybrid Bell's honeysuckle, and Standish honeysuckle. Most honeysuckle vines sold in nurseries are not invasive, but to avoid problems, only buy plants from reputable sources. How and when to plant honeysuckle vine? Plant honeysuckle in early spring after the danger of frost has passed. Amend the soil with compost or other well-rotted organic matter before planting. Dig a hole for the plant the same size as the root ball. Situate the vine in the hole at the same level as in the container. Backfill with the amended soil as needed, pressing down gently on the soil with your hands to remove air pockets. Water the plant and add a 2-inch layer of mulch around the base of the plant. Honeysuckle vine care tips. Light. Honeysuckle vine thrives with full sun on its stems and leaves, but not so much on its roots, which do better in shade. In a hot climate, select a spot with afternoon shade. Soil and water. Although honeysuckle vine tolerates a range of soil types, it performs best in loamy, well-draining garden soil that has been amended with compost. Until the vine is established, it needs consistent moisture, so water as needed. Afterwards, most honeysuckle varieties are fairly drought tolerant. Temperature and humidity. Honeysuckle vine grows best in temperatures between 55 and 85 degrees Fahrenheit. It prefers average or low humidity. High humidity encourages fungal infections such as powdery mildew. Fertilizer. If planted in soil that has been amended with organic matter, young honeysuckle vines don't need any fertilizer that year. Established plants benefit from a single application of general purpose fertilizer in the spring. Avoid over-fertilizing, as too much fertilizer prompts the plant to develop more foliage and fewer flowers. Pruning. Some honeysuckle vines bloom on new growth and some bloom on old growth. Knowing which type you have before pruning it is essential, or you risk removing next year's blooms. Most early flowering honeysuckle vines bloom on the previous year's growth. The best time to prune a honeysuckle vine is right after the flowers drop. The lighter the pruning, the more flowers will appear the following spring. There are no time constraints for removing dead wood, which improves the overall appearance of the plant. Potting and repotting. Honeysuckle vine grows well in containers. Select a container with excellent drainage and fill it with a combination of potting mix and compost. Add support to the container before planting unless you plan to locate it near a fence or other structure for it to climb on. And here's a tip. Instead of letting the potted vine climb a trellis, you could also place a container on a table, sturdy stand, or pillar and let the vines cascade down the sides. When the roots fill the pot or emerge from the drainage hole, repot the vine to a larger pot with fresh soil. Do this in the fall after the plant has dropped its leaves and has gone dormant. Pests and problems. Aphids and spider mites will feed on honeysuckle vines. To prevent an infestation, treat them promptly with insecticidal soap. If planted in soggy soil or being overwatered, honeysuckle may get fungi-caused cankers and powdery mildew. Depending on the severity of the problem, discard the plant or relocate it to a location with better drainage. How to propagate. The easiest way to propagate honeysuckle vine is from stem cuttings or by layering. Both methods produce clones of the parent plant. Propagation from seed is also possible, however, it is a lengthier and more involved process requiring cold stratification, and the seeds from cultivars don't produce vines that are true to the parent. Stem cuttings. In late spring, take a 6 to 8 inch semi-hardwood cutting, making a cut at an angle just below a leaf node. Remove the bottom sets of leaves and dip the stem cutting in rooting hormone. Insert the cutting into a pot filled with potting soil and place it in a warm, bright location, but out of direct sunlight. Keep the soil moist at all times. When new growth appears, the plant has rooted. Layering. If you have an existing honeysuckle vine, it's easy to create another one by layering. In the spring, bend a vine to the ground. Where it touches the ground, carefully scratch the side that touches the soil with a knife. Dust the scratched area with rooting hormone. Bury the scratched part of the vine in the ground and weigh it down with a rock or a landscape pin. Once new growth has emerged from the buried vine, sever it from the parent plant with pruners and replant it in a new location or a pot. Types of honeysuckle vines. Native honeysuckle species and non-invasive cultivars include coral honeysuckle vine. The American native coral honeysuckle sports clusters of coral-colored tubular flowers from spring through summer. The vine reaches up to 12 feet in length with blue-green semi-evergreen leaves. It's a vigorous grower that is best pruned after the first flush of flowers in spring. Grows in zones 4 through 9. Next is Dropmore Scarlet Honeysuckle Vine. Dropmore Scarlet bears slightly fragrant crimson-red flowers all summer long. It climbs to 12 feet and grows in zones 4 through 9. Gold Flame Honeysuckle Vine. Gold Flame is a strongly growing vine with fragrant yellow flowers all summer. It climbs to 15 feet and grows in zones 6 through 9. Now here are some frequently asked questions. How long does honeysuckle vine live? As a perennial, honeysuckle vine comes back year after year. Most varieties live about 20 years. What are the disadvantages of honeysuckle? The bad rap of honeysuckle refers to the invasive honeysuckle species, such as Eurasian honeysuckle, not the native honeysuckles. Invasive honeysuckles not only choke out native vegetation, but also have higher tick densities because they attract deer. How long does it take honeysuckle to bloom? Honeysuckle will bloom during its first growing season, but the optimal blooming will occur after 3 years. Also from BetterHomesAndGardens.com, 12 fragrant patio plants that will sweetly scent your outdoor space. These fragrant patio plants are a must for containers near seating areas and windows, by Megan Hughes. Send sweet scents wafting across your patio with a fragrant container garden. Position containers filled with fragrant patio plants where you are likely to brush by them or sit near them. The following plants all do well in container gardens. Their flowers last for weeks or months in some cases, so you can enjoy a sweet scent whenever you step outdoors. And some have fragrant foliage too. First, gardenia. Gardenias are beloved for the distinctive and powerful scent of their flowers, with notes of citrus and jasmine. However, they can be challenging plants to grow outdoors across most of the U.S. That's why gardenias make the perfect fragrant patio plant. Growing them in a pot makes it easier to provide the acidic soil conditions they prefer and to protect them from cold weather indoors. Growing conditions for gardenia: full to part shade and rich acidic well-drained soil. Size 4 to 8 feet, smaller in containers, and gardenia grows well in zones 7 through 11. And a warning, gardenias are considered toxic to dogs, cats, and horses. The flowers, foliage, and berries are also considered mildly toxic to humans. Number 2, heliotrope. Sweetly fragrant purple flowers cover heliotrope from early summer through fall. It tolerates heat and humidity well, making it an excellent plant for the deep south and other areas with humid summers. Bees and butterflies are frequent visitors. Try compact Atlantis or vanilla-scented incense heliotrope. Growing conditions: full sun or part shade and well-draining soil. Size up to 4 feet tall and 2 feet wide. And heliotrope grows in zones 10 through 11. And a warning, all parts of heliotrope are toxic to humans and horses when ingested in large quantities. Next, hyacinths. These springtime bulbs are perfume powerhouses. A container of 5 to 7 bulbs of hyacinths will send fragrance all over a patio. Purchase pre-chilled bulbs and plant a container of hyacinths in spring. Expect them to bloom for about 2 weeks. Growing conditions: full sun and well-draining soil. Grows up to 12 inches tall and grows well in zones 4 through 9. And a warning, all parts of hyacinths are toxic to humans, pets, and livestock when ingested. Jasmine, number 4. The small but very fragrant white or pink flowers of jasmine can perfume an entire outdoor room. This evergreen woody plant blooms from summer until the first frost. Grow it as a shrub in containers or train vining types to a trellis. Arabian jasmine maintains a small stature and is especially well suited to growing in containers. Grow it as an annual in colder regions or move it inside in the fall to overwinter. Growing conditions of jasmine: full sun or part shade, consistently moist but well-draining soil. Grows up to 8 feet tall and 15 feet wide, and jasmine grows in zones 6 through 10. Lantana, number 5. Subtly fragrant lantana thrives in hot, dry conditions. Its citrus-scented flowers open in tropical shades of pink, orange, red, yellow, and white. A single lantana plant can quickly fill a 12-inch wide pot with lush foliage and bright flowers from early summer through fall. Some lantana cultivars are more fragrant than others. Lantana plants in the luscious group, such as Luscious Citrus Blend, are known for their pleasing fragrance. Growing conditions: full sun, regular water, and well-draining soil. Grows up to 12 inches tall and 24 inches wide in a container, and lantana grows in zones 8 through 11. And a warning, ingesting the unripe fruit and leaves of lantana is toxic to dogs, cats, and livestock. Number 6 is lavender. Prized for its calming scent, lavender is a perennial herb that is easy to grow in containers. Group several containers of lavender together to make a big impact on a small space. Many lavender cultivars are available. A few color-rich favorites include Javelin Forte, Thumbelina Lee, and Sweet Romance Lavender. Growing conditions: full sun, moderate water in fast-draining soil. Size up to 16 inches tall and wide, and lavender grows in zones 5 through 9. And a warning, lavender plants are toxic to dogs, cats, and livestock when ingested. Moonflower is next. You'll probably catch a whiff of the honeysuckle-like fragrance of moonflower before you see the bloom. Its perfume permeates the garden. This night-blooming flowering plant has bold foliage, bright white flowers, and is most fragrant in the evening hours. Growing conditions: full sun and well-drained soil. Size up to 3 feet tall and 6 feet wide, and grows well in zones 9 through 11. And warning, moonflower is deadly if ingested, so plant it out of reach of pets and small children. Pineapple sage, number 8. Brush against the leaves of easy-to-grow pineapple sage to release the plant's citrusy scent. When provided with regular moisture, this large plant looks beautiful in a container through summer's heat and humidity. Look for Golden Delicious, which has pleasing, almost yellow foliage that makes the red flowers pop. Growing conditions: full sun with some afternoon shade in the hottest areas, rich and well-draining soil. Grows up to 4 feet tall, 3 feet wide, and pineapple sage grows in zones 8 to 11. Next on the list, roses. Yes, you can grow roses in pots. And the right rose can fill a container with color, cut flowers, and fragrance from early summer until fall. Try smaller varieties like Honey Perfume or Heritage for long-lasting fragrance. These roses grow best in containers that hold at least 5 gallons of soil. Growing conditions, full sun and well-draining soil. Size, up to 9 feet tall and wide. Grows well in zones 3 through 10. Senna Geranium, number 10, not to be confused with perennial geraniums, which aren't fragrant. Senna Geraniums are full of fragrance. They bring aromas of rose, citrus, mint, chocolate, and more to the garden. There are dozens of scented geranium varieties, each boasting a different leaf shape and fragrance. These are annual plants in most areas, or they can be overwintered indoors. Growing conditions, full or part sun and well-draining soil, grows up to 3 feet tall and 2 feet wide, and Senna Geraniums grows well in zones 10 through 11. And a warning, some types of geraniums are toxic to pets and livestock. Number 11 is Stock. Add scent to your spring or fall patio containers with the pastel blossoms and sweet perfume of Stock. This cool season annual blooms in shades of pink, purple, yellow, and white, and has blue-green foliage. It blooms from mid-spring until early summer and can be planted again in fall once temperatures cool off. Growing conditions, full or part sun and rich, moist, well-draining soil. Size, up to 3 feet tall and 2 feet wide. And grows in zones 7 through 10. Sweet Alyssum, number 12. A cool season annual that blooms from spring until frost, Sweet Alyssum has a sweet, honey-like fragrance that attracts pollinators and is a great nectar source for many insects. The flowers are typically white, but lavender and purple-hued varieties are also available. It has a mounting habit and will trail over the side of a container. Growing conditions, full sun and cool and moderate climates, and part shade in hot areas, consistently moist, well-draining soil. Size up to 12 inches tall and 18 inches wide, and grows well in zones 9 through 11. And there's a tip. If your Sweet Alyssum plants take on a scraggly, unkempt appearance, prune the stems back by half their length. This encourages fresh, dense growth and a new flush of flowers. Tips for using fragrant patio plants. Just as it is possible to overdo it with perfume or cologne, the same is true for fragrant patio plants. Some plants, like Alyssum, have a bold and long-lasting fragrance. A few containers of Alyssum near a patio dining table might be overwhelming, but a single plant can provide a pleasing aroma in close quarters. Also, avoid pairing multiple fragrant plants in a container or a small area like a porch. The competing scents might be too much for a sensitive nose. Instead, showcase one fragrant species per container grouping. Now here are some tips from Desert Botanical Garden on plant care during extreme heat wave. Consistent weeks of record-breaking high temperatures is stressful for many plants. Despite best efforts to keep plants alive, many will begin to see symptoms of heat and drought stress. Leaves, fruit, flowers, bark, wood, and roots may be damaged. Different plant species have a specific threshold. When a critical temperature is reached or exceeded, they will experience tissue damage, dehydration, and death. Plants will exhibit the following symptoms when exposed to high temperatures: wilting, scorched leaves or stems, yellowing of stems, fruit or bark, leaf rolling, stem dieback, defoliation or leaf drop, and root loss. There are several ways to help plants survive high temperatures. First, do not fertilize or prune your plants. This causes excessive new growth that is susceptible to heat damage. Pruning may also expose plant tissue to the sun, causing sunburn. Wait until cooler temperatures arrive. Cover with a 30 to 50% shade cloth when plants become yellow or leaves become crispy, or place an umbrella over plants in the early afternoon. Move container plants to a shadier location. This will help protect the plant and the soil won't dry out as quickly. Water deeply and allow soil to dry between each watering cycle. Even established plants that have been in the garden for many years may need supplemental irrigation during a heat wave and drought. Water wide, water deeply, and infrequently for most desert plants. Apply water directly to soil. Spraying plants with water, especially during the heat of the day, can turn those droplets of water into mini magnifying glasses and damage the plant tissues. It may also create a breeding ground for pathogens. Do not use water crystals, hydrogels, to keep soil moist. They can do more harm than good by removing water from the soil when they dry up. Apply a 1 to 2 inch layer of mulch instead. When applying mulch, keep away from the base of the plant. Water in the early morning to hydrate plants before the oncoming hot temperatures. And postpone planting at a later time. Wait until mild temperatures arrive. Plants will look a little raggedy, but following these tips will help lessen heat stress damage. And those of you who are regular listeners to this show know we feature stories from the terrific book called Chicken Soup for the Gardener's Soul. This story is called Girls Like Roses. It was written by Janice Cecilius, and there's a quote here from H. Peter Lower. Like people, plants respond to extra attention. Girls like roses. Girls like roses. Todd liked girls. Therefore, to get girls, Todd must have roses. This logic launched my 13-year-old son into the world of gardening. Dad, how much do roses cost? Todd asked one day. Well, that depends, son, his father said, lowering his newspaper. Do you want a plant, or do you just want a rose to give to someone special, like your mom? I don't know, Todd said, giving nothing away. What do both of them cost? Well, you can go to a florist and pay anywhere from $2 on up if that's what you want. Todd did the math. $2 a rose? If you gave a girl a dozen roses, that'd be $24. That's a lot of money for a girl. Even for a girl named Michelle. But if you planted a rose bush, his dad continued, you could get roses all season. So how much does a rose bush cost? Todd asked. Well, they can be pretty expensive, but I'll tell you what. If you want to grow roses, I'll help with the cost and teach you how to care for them, but you'll have to do all the work. Todd thought about it. How much work was a girl worth, even Michelle, who rode her bike by his house every day? He thought again of how she always waved and said, "Hi, Todd," and how her laughter made his throat tighten. "All right, I guess," he said, but he didn't look his dad directly in the eye. So Todd and his dad went rose shopping. They picked out 3 rose bushes, and his dad taught him how to plant and care for them. Todd fertilized, powdered, and fussed over them. They grew and grew. And one day he noticed rosebuds forming. "Hey, Dad, come look at what I've got. I've got roses starting. I'm going to have tons of roses." His dad laughed at his enthusiasm. "That's great, Todd. Now you won't really have tons of roses, not the first year anyway, but if you keep taking such good care of your plants, you'll be sure to have some." Well, one day soon after, Michelle and her friend rode by. "Hi, Todd," Michelle called out. "What are you doing?" "The perfect opportunity. Oh, I'm just going to check on my roses," Todd said. "What do you mean, your roses?" Michelle asked, smiling. Gee, she was pretty. "Can we see them?" Michelle's friend asked. "Sure, if you want to," Todd said, and they walked to the rose bushes in the backyard. "Oh, come on," Michelle teased. "You didn't grow these by yourself." "Yes, I did," Todd replied. Michelle's friend looked at Todd with respect. She was quiet and didn't say much. She left that up to Michelle. Michelle kept teasing Todd, though. "What are you going to do with them? I bet you're saving them for someone, aren't you? Who are you going to give them to, Todd?" Well, Todd felt himself starting to blush. "Nobody, really. I just like to grow them. Do you want one?" "Sure," she asked. "Why not?" "Don't you want one, too?" Michelle asked her friend. Well, Todd wasn't sure he liked Michelle offering her friend one of his flowers, but what could he say? He took out his pocket knife and selected a big, beautiful red rose for Michelle and a yellow rose for her friend. The friend smiled and carefully wrapped her rose in a napkin she had in her pocket. Michelle laughed. She took her rose, pointed it at Todd's nose, and waved it about. "Who are you really saving them for, Todd?" she asked. The large, special rose flopped up and down in front of Todd. Michelle was still talking, but he didn't see her. All he could see was his rose bobbing up and down 1 inch in front of his nose. Didn't she have any respect for his rose? Those roses were a lot of work. Michelle's face seemed distorted to Todd. Horrid sounds were coming out of it. Her laughter. His chest felt tight. a petal fell off the rose. It continued to wave up and down in front of him. Michelle's friend spoke. "Thank you for the beautiful rose, Todd," she said. "I better hurry home now so I can put it in some water." Michelle and her friend started to leave. Michelle was still talking and flapping her rose around. Todd looked at her friend as she gently held the wrapped rose in her hand, carefully got on her bike, and turned to go. "Hey," Todd called out, "what's your name?" "That's called Girls Like Roses." It was written by Janice Cecilius, one of the many stories that make up chicken soup for the gardener's soul. And that's the Green Thumb Show for this week. For Sun Sounds Radio, I'm Lee Murray, your reader. Have a great week. Be safe and healthy. And we'll be talking with you soon.